Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. You know, we had Thanksgiving this last week. And if nothing else, you can be thankful because you're breathing. Right? You're able to breathe in and out, open your eyes. That's a good place to start. Proverbs chapter 3, we're, I'd say, in the middle of a series on sonship, but we've been on it for quite a while. And I think I have an inkling where we're going next, but for today, we're going to settle in on this series here. I know there's an authentic environment that is a son. The word says in John 3:16 that God so loved, everybody say loved. Aren't you glad he loves the world? Well, that's convincing. How many are glad he loves the world? Because last time I checked, that's where I'm standing, right? He loved the world that he gave. He gave his son so that you could become a son. And ladies, if you're wondering, well, I can't become a son, well, you can become a daughter, right? And it beats being a slave. God so loved the world that he gave his son to have sons and daughters. And really what we're trying to get over in this series is, folks, there's an environment that is supposed to follow and be an environment that is a son's and a daughter's. And quite frankly, I mean, I just say this, you know, I was raised in church my whole life. But I'm going to know you, just because you're raised in church doesn't mean you know what being a son is. Because most of the time what we find is we've got slaves trying to raise sons, and slaves don't raise sons, slaves raise other slaves. You know, Jesus said the blind lead the blind, they fall in the ditch, they both fall in the ditch. So really what we find is so much of the environment that we were trained into as, you know, you come out of the kingdom of darkness, the Spirit of God puts you over in the kingdom of life, he puts himself on the inside of you, but so much of the environment that we were trained in really wasn't that of a son, it was that of a slave. You came out of the world to get out of the system of law that basically looks at everybody and says, you're not it. You know, one of the sayings, I think, see if I massacre this real good. It's a good thing I don't know it, I don't say it, so it's not in my mind. But there's a saying in the world that, you know, something about, I don't know, if you're looking for help, today's not the day, and tomorrow doesn't look very good either. You know, that's kind of the system that's in the world. But the system in the world is everything is based on law and whether you measure up to a certain law, whether you, you know, from the time that you're a little kid and you go to school, what's the first thing the kids do? They check out your hair, they check out your clothes. They check out your shoes. What are you wearing? Are you as good as me? No. Well, you're a geek then. Because after all, I am the standard. So human beings get raised in that system. They get raised in a system of scrutiny. They get raised in a system of law. And you either measure up or you don't measure up. Well, the challenge is, see, when you come out of the kingdom of darkness, which that's what that is, the whole system of the world, and quite frankly, the whole system of religion is the same thing. If you don't believe me, when was the last time you were in a church where they were checking out what you wore? And she wore that last week. Pastor wore the same shoes 3 weeks in a row. I think he wore those pants like the whole month. And then they go out and have filet of pastor or filet of sister so-and-so or filet of whoever. So the same system is in the religious system that is in the world. And really because that's because they both come from the same place. They're both grown from the same place. It's not the kingdom of God. So you come over into the kingdom of life. And so much of what's happened is we've just learned to get religious. Instead of walking in the new person that we are. Because the word says that in 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, mirror, mirror on the wall. I've got two hands here, so I can't. Second Corinthians 5:16. Let me just look it up.
Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer.
Okay, what does 17 say?
Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, the old things have come.
Okay. So you put verse 16, verse 17. Thank you so much, Beth. That was awesome. I should do that more often. Next. Verse 16 says, as the new system. And understand what we're talking about here, folks. From the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, everything changed. Everything changed. Everything that is in the world changed the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. The system in which human beings are tied to and submitted to, now they're no longer forced to be submitted to it. Now there's an option because there's a new sheriff in town. So when a man comes out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the dominion that is the world system that so much of is the religious system, and he comes over into the kingdom of life, this system doesn't function the same way as the other one does. It's not supposed to be a system of law to where, well, you either measure up or you don't. And see, the challenge is unless you're trained to think this way and understand the way the kingdom works, then you'll bring your mess from the kingdom of darkness in the natural world, you'll bring it over here, and then you'll try to live in the kingdom in that system. And so much of what we've done is what we've interpreted things that have gone through our minds, our thought process, and our emotions as things that are, well, Holy Spirit's dealing with me. I feel like crap, but if he's dealing with me, well, he's not dealing with you. Did you hear what I just said? He's not dealing with you then. If you feel like crap and you feel like you're being condemned, he's not dealing with you because the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit, when He deals with you and causes you and He asks you to make adjustments, He lifts you up and raises you, empowers you to make those adjustments. And when you make those adjustments, you feel like $1 million. Because He never takes things away from you or just detracts things from you to get you to make a correction. He doesn't bring out His big old ugly stick and whack you over the head. That's not Him. But see, we're so used to, as human beings, we're so used to living 3/4 of our world in the natural arena that we bring the same system that trained us in the natural world over into the kingdom, and we try to live in it, we try to relate to our daddy that way, and so we superimpose our natural experiences with our father upon the father, and we say, well, that's just the way he is. No, that's not the way he is at all. Because he so loved you, he gave. That didn't change once that transaction was made. So this man here in the new kingdom, see, here's the thing, and we'll get to this in a minute, but Peter talked about this after the day of Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus. He recognized there's a new era here. There's a new environment for human beings. And he recognized and he pulled some things out of the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit showed him, and he recognized the era they were in. It was the restoration of all things. And see, part of the restoration of all things, as 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17 states, that the system which you operate, old things have passed away, all things become new, including how you act, how you respond, how you function, and how you think towards your daddy. And how you function in this thing called the kingdom. Because the kingdom is here right now. It's not someplace you're going. It's here right now. I mean, come on, folks, man. The world has enough sense to know there's something beyond the scene. Why do you think they make all these dumb movies? And I mean, frankly, that might just be their world. What they're bringing out. It's not mine. Because the kingdom of God's not that way. And I don't care how much darkness tries to boast and how big and bad it is. In a movie, it ain't big as bad as my Jesus. But the system that you live in over here, see, this is a new system. We think differently, we respond differently, we act differently, we co-interact with a different reality because the kingdom of God is here. As soon as Jesus stepped foot on the planet, the very first thing he said to the human race was, the kingdom of God is here, change how you're thinking. And then he demonstrated what the kingdom of God being here looked like. It didn't go away. The challenge is we've just had religious thought processes train us naturally because it didn't know how to interact with that thing called the kingdom. It didn't know how to reproduce what it saw in the book of Acts or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because it was completely foreign to them. But the fact of the matter is, as the new man or the new woman, as an environment of a son, the proper environment of a son or a daughter, there is a different way to function in this thing called the kingdom. It's interesting because Proverbs brings this out. You're over there in Proverbs, right? Still like 20 minutes ago. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Does that say all or does that say part? I'm sorry. What it really says is trust in the Lord with the part of your heart you're comfortable with.
No plan B.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. Well, that word lean is literally the picture in the Hebrew of this. Something you support yourself on. Something that you literally get up on and lie down on. You make yourself comfortable with and you depend on it. He's saying don't do that. In other words, what he's saying is whatever's been habit to you, don't do that. Don't lean on your own understanding. Herein lies the problem. The best that religion can do is train you in your mind. That's a problem because as the new man, see, it's a different system. So how do I function over here if I'm not going to rely on my mind? I'm not saying you take your mind and flush it. I'm not saying that. But you got to train your mind to think in line with your spirit. Because last time we checked, folks, human beings were spirits. You're not a dog. I love my chihuahuas. I have three. But as much as I love them, they don't have a spirit. It's kind of a bummer. It's probably Jesus. He needs to correct me. Oh, chihuahuas do have a spirit. Okay. No. So the system that's in the world is the one that you lean on, you rest on, you rely on, what's between your ears, your mind, your emotions, and what you know. You are your best expert. But the kingdom system is you don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, not most of your ways, or in all your ways on Sunday, but all your ways, acknowledge Him. Everybody say acknowledge. Acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. And then verse 7, this is a tough one for people. Because they either fall in the ditch on one side or they fall in the ditch on the other. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Now here's the challenge with that. Because most people that are raised religiously, they read that, don't be wise in your own eyes, and here's the first thing they do. I'm so unworthy. I'm so no good. Nothing good dwells in me.
Oh.
But that's not what it's saying here. See, here's the thing, folks. If you can't see this verse and you can't live in this verse without degrading you, then you've been trained by the wrong person. Because the Holy Spirit's not that way. He's simply saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't do what's habit for a natural man, that is to lean on what's in your understanding. How many know this new system? If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you've declared that Jesus is Lord so nothing else can be, then He literally reconnected. You are one spirit with Him. He loves you so much that He gave Himself to you to be in you. He put His Spirit in you. And the new system is, it really is a system that makes a man whole. Because you relearn how to live life out of your spirit. And your mind and your understanding submits to what you get in your spirit. And the word says, Paul said in his writings to the church in Corinth in Greece, he said that the Lord always leads you in triumph. The job of the Spirit of God is to lead, guide, direct, impress you, to cause certain thoughts to come into your understanding so that you make decisions based on those thoughts. And that's how He makes you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. See, we've been trying to get the promises of God to work while we're still living over here in our heads. When the very person that is designed to bring those to pass in your life, we don't even know who He is. He's just the best He is to most is the theology. Proverbs says, don't lean to your own understanding. That which has been habit for you as a natural man, don't lean to that. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He'll make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. But don't put yourself down in your own eyes either. You got enough of that crap in the world. I said, you got enough of that crap in the world. So don't bring it over into the kingdom. Because that's not Him. Your daddy is your best cheerleader. Did you know that? Holy Spirit's your best cheerleader. Jesus is your brother. He's your best cheerleader. So, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Everybody say acknowledge.
Acknowledge.
I said this last week. Go over to 2 Corinthians. I said this last week. Some years ago, I basically had this thought. There's got to be more than this. And again, I was raised in church my whole life, and I'm not talking about whether I was denominationally trained or, quote, spirit-filled trained. I'm not talking about that at all. It was after the fact that I was, quote, spirit-filled trained. And I still had this thought, there's got to be more than this. I love the Word of God. I love the New Testament. I love things that we see that God shows us in the Old Testament. I love those things. But let me just tell you something, and this is exactly what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, you love the print because you think in them you have eternal life, when they're actually supposed to bring you into an experience with me. Let me show you this too. I told you to go to what, 2 Corinthians? Hold your place there and go to Ephesians. Oh, I'm sorry, no, go to Acts. Just go someplace. I've got off my notes now, so be ready. Acts chapter... Yeah, let's go there. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Now, if you're like me, you've read this verse a number of times. But I want to show you something, because the Holy Spirit wants you to see something. Again, what does Proverbs say? Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your step. You can read the Bible that way too. I don't care how many times I know a verse. I know there's something there I haven't seen. I want to sit down. I want, Daddy, show me how you're thinking about these verses. Never read your Bible in a rut. Oh, I've read that before. Yeah, I know that. Oh, I know that. Then you don't know it, because there's more there. But notice what it says here in verse 24, Acts 18, about, you know, my brother here this morning brought up Apollos. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth. So he was a Jewish Greek guy. An eloquent man. You're trying to turn the page on these things without... There it is. Without dropping on the floor. He was an eloquent man. He came to Ephesus. And what does it say the very next thing? He was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. He was teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. He wasn't speaking from Jesus. He was speaking concerning Jesus. See, folks, that's the best thing we can, that's the best we can do. We need to be mighty in the scriptures, but you need to be mighty in the Spirit of God. Because if you'll notice, and we'll get there in a minute, in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, what I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking from Him in the sight of Him. He wasn't speaking concerning Him. He was speaking things from Him in the sight of Him. You'd see the difference. So we got a whole religious system that the best they can do is train you to be mighty in print. We need to be mighty in the Word, because we need to train our natural minds how to think according to the new system. But the reason we do that is not so we can camp out in our minds, it's so we can cause our minds to recognize and have a submission to what's in our spirit from Him. Because a human being, that's If you want to live as a whole human being, this is how a human being was created to live. If we're just going to live out of our minds, you're not living whole. You're not going to live a whole, you're not a whole human being living whole until you learn how to live out of your spirit with your mind submitted. Your mind, your will, your emotions. So here in Acts, you know, Apollos was mighty in the scriptures. He was instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. And then it says, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. But folks, we've got to get past, this almost sounds sacrilegious. We've got to get past the best we can do is telling people about him. Is he real?
Yes.
I think I have one person that's convinced. Is he real?
Yes.
Does he have a mouth?
Yes.
Is he still speaking?
Yes.
Then he has something to say. So I don't want to be stuck in the mode of I know print and the best I can do is say things about him or concerning him or lead people to him. Why don't I let him speak through me directly? Well, the challenge with that is, see, this natural man can't do that. And unless we're determined to train ourselves as authentic environment of a son and a daughter to learn, like Paul said, what I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking from him in the sight of him. Unless we're determined to train ourselves to live there and to grow up there, you won't. Because you're always going to default back to the easiest thing, which is to live out of your head. You know, I remember when I first started pastoring a church, and I still have to watch myself now. But when I first started pastoring a church, and some of you have heard me say this, I used to like make notebook pages full of notes. And I'm not talking just the short little, she's like, yeah. I'm talking about the legal side stuff, man. Pages and pages. I mean, there's so much writing on this thing because I wasn't going to get caught short. And then poor person in the seat. Because I was determined, well, we're going to get the whole entire 5 pages here. I don't care. I mean, you know, I'm going to get it all in. In an hour, I'm going to get it all in. So basically, we get to service, and I just turn on the fire hose and just blast everybody. And at the end of the service, everybody's like, And see, I catch myself sometimes because what am I doing? I'm going back over to lean in my own understanding. Because that's comfortable. What did Jesus tell the disciples? He said, look, when you stand before the leaders of your nation, don't sit there and go pre-prepared. You think on the day of Pentecost that Peter had this speech all worked up? Because he knew it was coming. And Jesus said, you know, wait. And Peter's always wanted to be prepared, and so he had this big speech prepared so that when the day of Pentecost came and all the folks showed up, that he could give them this speech. You think that's what happened? No. On the spot there, Holy Spirit started showing and giving him revelation of Old Testament writings. He was pulling things from Joel, pulling things from this and there and the other, and he starts talking, and he starts making sense. What would happen if we would allow ourselves to be trained by the person of the Holy Spirit that once you come out of darkness and you come out of the slavery of what is darkness and you allow yourself, you allow your Creator to show you who you really are all over again, put you into the kingdom of life, love you so much that He put Himself in you, and then all He wants you to do, stop trying to be good enough, stop trying to measure up because my Son already made you righteous. So forget about that. Now what you need to do is learn how to live as a whole human being, my spirit and your spirit, and let me raise you up and train you how to be a son, how to be a daughter, how to look like the one that went to the cross for you. What would happen? Well, the same thing that you see in the book of Acts. That's what would happen. Because while the whole population are over here milling around like mice, looking, you know, living out of their own heads, all of a sudden you're pulling something out of where you don't know where, you know, they don't know where you're pulling out of. All of a sudden he's showing you things and talking to you about things, and you're bringing that over into the real world and talking to them in conversation. He's showing you things about them, and he's telling you to minister this and that and the other to them and say this to them, or, you know, even just come alongside of them and build them up. And then some of the things you're saying is things that he's giving you, because we trained ourselves not to preload our own heads. Folks, recognize that, guys. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct all your steps. Now, I told you to go to 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Man, there's a lot of stuff I could get into, but for the sake of time, and for the sake of your lower ends, I won't. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. We'll start there. Paul makes this statement. He says, will the ministry of the Spirit, speaking of the new covenant, the new era, post-resurrection of Jesus, will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? The answer is no. He's comparing the old covenant with the new covenant. He's saying, you know, the old covenant had some glory. How many know the Red Sea parting is pretty much cool? Right? I think there's a movie out right now about rather handsome looking Moses. Quite young, actually. But, you know, the old covenant had some glory that followed it around, right? He's saying the new covenant's got more glory than that. More glory to the flesh, where it makes the glory in the old not so much. Is that what you're experiencing? I can go in any church in America and ask that question, and everybody'd say no. You know why? Because you got trained by the bad babysitter that was religious. They told you, your daddy doesn't do that anymore. It's a wonder we can even make any of these words that Paul says apply to anything nowadays, because we've pretty much resolved, whether we'd admit it or not, we resolved that he didn't do these things anymore. But that's just not true. Paul said, the glory that is this new covenant, that follows this new covenant, that's attached to this new covenant, is greater than that of the old glory. And he says in verse 9, if the ministry of condemnation had glory, how much more does the ministry of righteousness, what's the next word? Abound. Everybody say abound.
Abound.
Now, if I walked up to you and I gave you 50 cents, would you consider yourself to be abounding in prosperity? How about a dollar? Well, you could go to McDonald's and get one of those dollar burgers, you know. And, you know, that might be really good. But that's still not abounding. So how come we've settled for nothing less than 50 cents and tried to call that the glory? He says, much more the ministry of righteousness, which is the new covenant, will abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, and it was, much more what remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness of speech. Now, what is it that brings about this glory? Well, one person. Fast forward in your scriptures to verse 17. He says, now the Lord is, what's the next two words? The Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is No, that can't be right. Where the Lord is, there's feeling bad about you because you're a scumbag. Is that what it says? No, where the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So, we all with unveiled faces, unveiled, we stop trying to hide behind things you don't want anybody to know. I said this last week, folks, the best place for there to be an environment of we don't care if you make a mistake is in church. I don't care. I don't care if you sing a wrong note. If you listen close, now don't do this, but if you listen close enough, you probably heard a number of wrong notes this morning. But you know what? He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Because all he enjoyed was the worship. And then he shows me a way to make the wrong notes fit. But it's the same way with you. See, the environment, the authentic environment of a son or a daughter in the kingdom is, I don't care if you make mistakes. He'd much rather you be on that little red bicycle trying to pedal down the road, and he's got the seat, and then he said, okay, you can do this. And so he lets go of the seat, and you take off, and you're going like this. He'd much rather be back there going, come on, man, you can do this, and see you pedal 15 times and then crash into a car that was parked on the side of the road because that's what you were looking at. Ask me how I know. It stuck to his bath night, too. That hurt worse. But he'd much rather you do that than, I don't want to get on the bike. I don't ride bikes. And I don't want to talk to somebody. I don't want to. I'll just read. That's what I did for a lot of years. I'd rather sit in my little apartment and read my Bible than get out there and talk to anybody. I'm just saying, just live life outside and talk to people. I was more comfortable just reading. But I wasn't growing necessarily. I was stockpiling a lot of revelation, but for what? He says, where the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, go to John. Go to John. How many know we can pretty much trust what Jesus said? Listen, we can pretty much trust. John 14. And look at verse 16, speaking of the Holy Spirit. See, where the Lord is, the Lord is the Spirit. Jesus spoke about the Spirit. I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you as long as you're a good boy. Is that what it says? Or he may be with you as long as you're a good girl. No, he said, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you another helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. The Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because he does not see him, because they're still living out of their minds. But you know him because he abides with you. He's been with you, but he will be in you. So he will be in you forever. How come if a guy is going to be with us forever, we don't know nothing about him? I mean, he's with us forever. Can you imagine if you had a friend and he showed up at your house every day for the time that you woke up and, you know, you walked out in the living room, he's there. He followed you around all day long and months after month after month after month, it was the same thing. And then one day he showed up and you said, who are you? Dude, I've been with you for months. Jesus said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you forever. But the best he is to most people is a theology. But yet he's the one that is the Lord that's bringing the glory. No wonder there isn't any of this nowadays. Because he's still just a theology to most people. When Jesus said, I'm sending him to you, and he's going to be, he's been with you, so you're familiar with him. But he's going to be in you now. The new era is he's not just with you, he's in you. And so he goes on and says, in verse 20, he says, in that day, which is the post-resurrection, after the resurrection of Jesus, he says, in that day, you will, everybody say will. You will know. Everybody say, I will know. That I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised in church, and I never got to the I will. There was never a security of me for sure knowing. It was just, well, that's what they said. But the job of the Holy Spirit inside of you, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, then it's not just a theological transaction or you believing in a dude just because he's at the top of the food chain. Post-resurrection, the environment for a human being is different. In the world, they're not living as a whole human being because they're flying blind. It's like trying to fly an airplane without any instrument training. If you're just going to be led by what you're seeing, you're in big trouble. Because what you're seeing may not be what you're seeing. You may think you're flying horizontally, but you're flying straight down. It's happened. But that's natural man. But see, you're not designed to live like that. You're designed, as a human being, you're designed to live as a whole human being, out of your spirit, one spirit with him. He's the guidance system. He loved you so much that he gave himself to you via his spirit, put his spirit in you, and then he wants you to learn to lean on him for what you're knowing. And Jesus said the security of him being with you and now he's in you is you will know that you're in the Father and that he's in you and that I'm in you. You will know that. Not you question it, you will know it. So, well, there's some places I wanted to go today, but part of the challenge that we have, go back to Acts, we'll end here, go back to Acts. Acts chapter 3. Part of the challenge that we've had, folks, in reading your Bible is you can't read it religiously, like, I don't mean like systematically, I mean like with a religious bend, preconceived ideas. You've got to read it as if it's alive, that it was written by a live person who is actually able to show you exactly what he wrote. Because Jesus gave you, if you came into the kingdom, you've declared Jesus as Lord of your life, so nothing else can be, and that he put himself in you, then he's in there to show you what this thing says. And the reason he can do that is because the new model, let's just say it this way, the new model, how many hate it when you go buy electronics and the next year they come out with a new model? I hate that. Because you get 12 months to feel good about what you bought, and then it's obsolete. But the new model, we're talking post-resurrection of Jesus, the new man, the one that all things have passed away, all things become new. This new model has capabilities that the old model doesn't have. If you look at Peter pre-resurrection and look at Peter post-resurrection, they're not even the same man. Pre-resurrection, there's no way Peter's going to pull revelation out of the Old Testament, stand in front of thousands and thousands of people, and declare what he's getting right now. There's no way he would have done that. But post-resurrection, he did. Why? Because this model is equipped with features that the old model isn't equipped with. Namely, the old model doesn't live out of their spirit, one spirit with him. As the new model, see, when you made Jesus Christ your Lord, it's not because, you don't do that because, well, I'm scared of going to hell. Well, you know, hell's a bad place. It would suck to be there. But he doesn't want you to go for Jesus because you're scared to burn. He wants you to go for Jesus because Jesus really is on your side. He's your best cheerleader. He did what he did for you. He did it for the entire human race. He did it to take you from being a natural man to a whole man and then learn how to live through his mind, what he's seen, and he'll lead and guide you in your life and cause you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. In Acts chapter 3, notice what Peter says. And this is something that, nobody ever told me this my whole life growing up in church. Okay, this was after the situation in Acts chapter 3 where there was a guy that was lame. He was lame from his mother's womb. How many know if he's lame from his mother's womb, the guy's never walked? He does not have the equipment to walk. His muscle structure is not developed to be able to hold up the frame. So it's not like he knew how at one point and then he remembered. He didn't ever know how. He never could. He was carried along every day, sat in front of the gate, beautiful, to beg for his life, his livelihood. He saw Peter and John go to the temple to receive his alms. And Peter said in verse 4, Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him. You could say this in parentheses, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, because that's exactly what's revealed in the Greek New Testament. We know that because what Peter said in verse 6, he says, I don't possess silver and gold, but what I do have, literally in the Greek New Testament, is what I do have at this very moment, right this minute, what I have, I'm going to give it to you. And then he grabbed a hold of him and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man, by the time the dude hit the ground, his muscle structure was developed. His bones were developed to hold up his frame, and he went and leaping and praising God into the temple. He followed him in. Now notice where Peter goes with that. In verse 9 it says, all the people saw him walking and praising God. How many everybody knew who he was? And they were taking note of him being the one that was sat by the gate beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11, all the people ran together to them. Say this, all the people ran together. Notice it doesn't say away from them. To them. And when Peter saw this, then he goes into this thing that the Spirit of God gave him for the moment, and he starts talking to him. He talks about, in verse 16, he says, look, the faith which came through him, speaking of Jesus, has given this man perfect health in the presence of all of you. How many know Jesus is still interested in doing things in the presence of everybody? Why? Well, notice what Peter says. Jump forward to, well, let's just read verse 16. Verse 18, he says, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer, has been fulfilled. The resurrection is a done deal. New era right now. Therefore, repent, change the way you think. See, repenting doesn't mean you fall on the floor and cry and bawl and squall. You can repent without one drop of anything. Because you're just changing the way you're thinking. You're having a new thought. He says, repent, change what you're thinking. He said, so that your sins can be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from being religious. Is that what it says? No, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, who's the Lord? But Paul said, the Spirit is the Lord. See, he's the revelation of the new covenant. He's the one that brings things out of the unseen into the seen. Without him, it doesn't happen. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He could say from the presence of the Lord, who is the Spirit. That he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you. Notice the next four words. Whom heaven must receive. Next five words. Until. That means that what he's getting ready to say has to happen before Jesus the Christ, who's appointed for you, is going to come out of heaven back into the earth. And what does he say? The period of restoration of all things. Folks, guess what ushered in the period of the restoration of all things? The very first thing that your Father restored to you was the ability to live as a whole human being with his Spirit in your spirit. Holy Spirit in your life, in you, upon you, is what a whole man, whole person looks like. That's what Father considers to be a whole person. We can get fixed in our emotions all we want to. It's a good thing. We can get fixed in our thinking. We can get fixed in our emotions. We can get fixed any natural way, every natural way you can think of. But until we learn how to live in the real you, which is your spirit, with his spirit in there, and learn how to submit your spirit to his spirit and your thinking to your spirit, and walk out what you get, you're not going to live as a whole human being. Because the very first step of the restoration of all things was to take a man who was disconnected from his Creator, groping around in the dark, Acts 17, trying to find his way to God. The best he can do is speculate on who God is, and reconnect him to him and get direct downloads. I love the technology nowadays because you can pull the technology lingo that everybody understands and plug it into the gospel. Jesus did what he did to cause human beings who lived their entire existence offline to now be able to go online permanently. Through that process begins the restoration of all things. So I would say that the person of the Holy Spirit who's going to be with us forever, it's someone we should probably spend some time to get to know. Right? Did you guys get anything out of this at all? Let's go ahead and stand up. I remember there was a time. Like I said, I was raised in church my whole life. Man, I went to so many different churches. I think a lot of times I just got sent to churches just to get out of the house. You know, parents, oh good, there's a vacation Bible school. Let's go stick them over there. But we don't believe like that. So what? Just get them over there. Just get them out of the house. I was raised in just about every denomination that there is. And I remember there was a day when I looked at the Bible, and a friend of mine, we used to be roommates, we'd sit and talk about the stories in the Gospels. But it bugged me because it seemed like I could only go down so far in my understanding. And it was like, you know, anything past what the page was saying, I didn't get it. I wasn't getting it. And then I went to church. I'd found a good church at that point. And I remember the pastor said at the end of the church service, he said, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit our brother this morning brought it up. It's the same thing Peter was talking about on the day of Pentecost. Folks, let me just tell you this. As a human being, you were created to live in that. Let's just take the weird crap off of it. The Bible calls it speaking in tongues, but let's just take the weirdness off of it. Your natural mind, wherever you're raised, wherever you're born, whatever continent across the world, it learns a language, right? But yet that mind is not the real you. I mean, as a natural man, that's the best you can do. But you're not a natural man. When you come into the kingdom and you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're no longer a natural man. The real man is one spirit with him. The real you is your spirit. When this whole thing is over with and your body gets put back into the dust, your spirit is in his presence. And good news, you don't look as bad as you think you look now. Because that's the real you. See, your mind is connected to your spirit. But the problem is we let our mind be trained by our natural bodies. But see, your spirit, you think your spirit is mute? It's kind of silly. Your spirit's not mute. Your spirit has a voice. And the cool thing is your spirit, with your mind, it can speak your natural language, but your spirit also has a language because your spirit's the real you. See, we've let this thing get weird and be made weird. But all you're doing, when the Bible talks about speaking in tongues, all you're doing is you're praying out of your spirit. It's connected to the things you can't see. That's why Jude said when you pray in your spirit, you're building yourself up on your most uncontaminated faith. Because your mind and your emotions can't contaminate what you're getting. Because the new system is, as a new man, see, you live out of your spirit, you pray out of your spirit. What did Paul say? In everything, pray out of your spirit at all times. I was raised in church my whole life, and nobody ever told me anything about that verse. We just pretty much read over it because, you know, it doesn't make any sense. We just thought that meant, you know, pray religiously. But that they didn't understand, you pray out of your spirit. Here's what we're going to do. In the series we're going into, we're going to get to know Him. We're going to get to know the Holy Spirit. How many think He's worth getting to know?
Yes.
And we're going to show some things. We're going to bring out some things about, you know, the Spirit-led life. What the Bible talks about, calls it tongues. We're going to show you all those things. But by the time we're done, here's what's going to happen. By the time we're done, you're going to want to be a part of who He is and everything He gave to you. I remember when I was a kid. Everybody can relax. I'm not going to call everybody up here in the front. And, you know, you're going to speak in tongues now. I'm not going to do that. So just relax. I remember when I was a kid in the church service, the pastor said, you know, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the others just speaking in tongues and you want that, go ahead and raise your hand. And my hand was up in the air. I just came to this. You know what? I'm trying to get robbed. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. And I'll tell you, from that point on, when I received that and I was released, I learned how to cooperate with my spirit, and my mind learned to hook with my spirit and just give a voice to the language. I was amazed when I started opening the Bible. It was like it went from a flat print book to a pop-up. And now everything was three-dimensional. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen these things before. I saw things in the Word that I've never seen in my life. What happened? I was beginning to learn how to live life out of my spirit. and not out of my own understanding. I'm going to tell you where we're going. We're going to just relax and we're going to have some fun. We're going to learn about him. Because he's real. He's in you. At the worst, he's with you. At the best, he's in you. Do you understand that? You can pack this place with a bunch of natural folks. Never been to church in their whole entire life. Still, the Holy Spirit's with them. I know that's not real churchy. He doesn't really preach good, but that's true. Because where's the Holy Spirit? He's in the world. So at the least, he's with them. He's amongst them. They don't know he's there. They can't receive him because they can't see him. But as the new man or the new woman, you know he's not just with you, he's in you. Because you're one spirit with him. You now have the ability to get direct downloads from Daddy. We just need to learn and develop in those areas. So let's spend some time in the coming weeks. Let's spend some time just getting to know him. We're just going to enjoy knowing him. And I promise you at the end, you're going to want more of him than you got right now. And you're going to want to participate more with him than you are right now. And it ain't going to be no pressure, none of that junk. It'll just be something. In fact, you don't have to do it in this building. You can just go home and love on him. And, you know, you can talk to him yourself. And you know, at some point, you know, you'll come back a totally different person. And people will say, man, what happened to you? Hey, man, me and the Holy Spirit, we had some time together. He showed me some things and he developed me in some things. And I got a whole other outlook on things. See, this stuff doesn't have to be weird. Doesn't have to be confrontational. Doesn't have to be, you better prove your commitment, brother. Yeah. Holy Spirit's that good. Your daddy's that good. And he wants you to know him. Because you'll never be the same again. And as a result of that, this city will never be the same again either. You guys up for that? I'm up for that. I mean, if y'all don't show up, I'll study my whole week and I'll come here and talk to myself. Me and the Holy Spirit will talk to each other. Raise your hands to heaven. You remember when you were a kid, you know, and when you were real little, like 2 years old, 1 year old, maybe 2 years old. I don't think 1 year olds can walk. And you saw your mom or your daddy, and you want to get picked up. What do? You put your hands up. My chihuahuas do that. They put their paws up in the air, pick me up. That's all we're doing, folks. Pick me up. Holy Spirit, to the best that we know you, we love you. And thanks for loving us back more than we know you. And we just want to spend some time and get to know you in the coming weeks and the rest of our life. I ask that you'll open the eyes of our understanding, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of knowing you. That you bring us to the place so we don't just think our own thoughts, we think yours. That we begin to see what you see and think what you think and feel what you feel and say what you say. I speak to every person in this room and I thank you, Father, for loving them beyond their wildest imaginations. Thank you, Jesus, for pouring out your blood and buying every single person that is living and breathing, past, present, and future. Thank you for finding the treasure and esteeming it worth the purchase. Everybody say this, Father, thank you for seeing me as a treasure and esteeming me valuable. And I ask you to fill me up with you. How many will believe that for the rest of your life? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.